and was walled in by a triple rampart of stone, noise, and verdure, like an embalmed mummy in its triple coffin. The man we have just alluded to walked along with a firm step, although he was no longer in his early prime. His dark cloak and long sword plainly revealed one who seemed in search of adventures, and, judging from his curling mustaches, his fine and smooth skin, which could be seen beneath his sombrero, it would not have been difficult to pronounce that the gallantry of his adventures was unquestionable. In fact, hardly had the cavalier entered the house when the clock struck 8, and 10 minutes afterwards, a lady, followed by a servant armed to the teeth, approached and knocked at the same door, which an old woman immediately opened for her. The lady raised her veil as she entered. Though no longer beautiful or young, she was still active and of an imposing carriage. She concealed beneath a rich toilette and the most exquisite taste an age which Ninon de l'Enclos alone could have smiled at with impunity. Hardly had she reached the vestibule than the cavalier, whose features we have only roughly sketched, advanced towards her, holding out his hand.
"Good day, my dear Duchesse," he said.
"How do you do, my dear Aramis?" replied the Duchesse.
He led her to a most elegantly furnished apartment, on whose high windows were reflected the expiring rays of the setting sun, which filtered through the dark crests of some adjoining firs. They sat down side by side. Neither of them thought of asking for additional light in the room, and they buried themselves, as it were, in the shadow, as if they wished to bury themselves in forgetfulness.
"Chevalier," said the Duchesse, "you have never given me a single sign of life since our interview at Fontainebleau, and I confess that your presence there on the day of the Franciscan's death and your initiation in certain secrets caused me the liveliest astonishment I ever experienced in my whole life."
"I can explain my presence there to you, as well as my initiation," said Aramis.
"But let us first of all," said the Duchesse, "talk a little of ourselves, for our friendship is by no means of recent date."
"Yes, madame, and if heaven wills it, we shall continue to be friends. I will not say for a long time, but forever."
"It is quite certain, Chevalier, and my visit is a proof of it."
"Our interests, Duchesse, are no longer the same as they used to be," said Aramis, smiling,
without apprehension in the gloom in which the room was cast, for it could not reveal that his smile was less agreeable and less bright than formerly.
"No, Chevalier, at the present day we have other interests. Every period of life brings its own, and as we now understand each other in conversing, as perfectly as we formerly did without saying a word, let us talk, if you like."
"I am at your orders, Duchesse."
"Ah, I beg your pardon. How did you obtain my address, and what was your object?" "You ask me why? I have told you. Curiosity in the first place. I wish to know what you could have to do with the Franciscan, with whom I had certain business transactions, and who died so singularly. You know that on the occasion of our interview at Fontainebleau in the cemetery, at the foot of the grave so recently closed, we were both so much overcome by our emotions that we omitted to confide to each other what we may have had to say."
"Yes, madame."
"Well, then, I had no sooner left you than I repented, and have ever since been most anxious to ascertain the truth. You know that Madame de Longueville and myself are almost one, I suppose?"
"I am not aware," said Aramis discreetly.
"I remembered, therefore," continued the Duchesse, "that neither of us said anything to the other in the cemetery, that you did not speak of the relationship in which you stood to the Franciscan, whose burial you had superintended, and that I did not refer to the position in which I stood to him, all which seemed very unworthy of two such old friends as ourselves, and I have sought an opportunity of an interview with you in order to give you some information that I have recently acquired, and to assure you that Marie Michon..."